Three, two, one.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour podcast. This is week 14 of the NFL season. For most people, this should be the last week of the fantasy regular season, so a lot on the line. There's also a lot on the line for NFL teams. We are coming down the home stretch toward the playoffs. We're mid-December now, only a few games left, and a huge pack of teams fighting in both the NFC and AFC. It's very exciting. There isn't really anyone that's separated themselves completely. It's possible we're going to have all seeds kind of in play all the way down to the end of the season, which is great for us and great for fantasy. I'm going to dive into my games of the week, some sit start recommendations, and look at my picks against the spread. But we are going to start by looking back at the Thursday night football game. When the 2-10 Patriots, led by Bailey Zappe without Ramondre Stevenson, battled the 7-5 Pittsburgh Steelers without Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky in the lineup and an injured Najee Harris, you're not expecting a lot of offense. The over-under for this game was quite low. I myself thought we might see less than 20 points. Boy, was I wrong. It was a pretty high-flying first half. Bailey Zappe actually threw three touchdown passes, one to Ezekiel Elliott, two to Hunter Henry in the first half. Mitch Trubisky rallied them a little bit in the second half, but a 21-18 victory for the New England Patriots. The Steelers were 7-4 2 weeks ago with two back-to-back home games against teams coming in 2-10, and they lost them both. They lost to the Cardinals in week 13, and now starting off with this loss, now they're 7-6. They went from being the fifth seed in the AFC to, if the playoffs started right at this red hot second, they'd be out because there are 3-7-5 teams. There's also a huge pack of teams at 6-6. This is not a great sign for the Steelers. They have not gotten that complete offensive boost some thought they would get after firing Matt Canada. Hard to know how this team is competitive-wise. Meanwhile, for the Patriots, I think we're going to see Zappe for the rest of the season. He actually looked pretty decent there. Ezekiel Elliott providing a lot in terms of receptions and rush yardage. Not a bad performance, not a great performance, but that's the way it goes. Now let's move on to games of the week. As I mentioned, we have some huge games on the schedule. I'm going to start with the Sunday early window game. My pick is the 6-6 Los Angeles Rams at the 9-3 Baltimore Ravens. Huge impacts for both teams. The Rams worked themselves back to 6-6, trying to get into that wild card playoff discussion. The Ravens, meanwhile, at 9-3, coming off of a bye week. They are tied for the best record in the AFC, technically below Miami as the 2 seed right now, but they want to fight for that 1 seed. They're also in an insanely competitive division. Every team in the AFC North is 500 or better, so the Ravens want to keep winning to build up that seed. Big stakes for both teams. There's also big stakes for both teams in my afternoon game of the week. The 6-6 Buffalo Bills are just on the ragged edge of staying in this playoff hunt. They are chasing a 9-3 Miami team in the East. I don't know if they have the horses to catch them, so they need to be at least keep winning to stay in the wild card. The Chiefs, meanwhile, 8-4, suffered a big loss last week on Sunday Night Football to the Green Bay Packers. They're a game back of the best record in the AFC. They have a couple game lead in the AFC West, probably not in huge danger in their own division, but no Isaiah Pacheco today. That will deal the Chiefs a blow. Their offense has not looked exactly spectacular. A couple of teams desperate for wins. Who is going to get it? Probably the game of the week is Sunday Night Football. The 10-2 Philadelphia Eagles at the 9-3 Dallas Cowboys. Philadelphia was embarrassed a little bit last week, lost 42-19 at home to the 49ers. They only have a one game lead on the Cowboys. They did beat the Cowboys earlier this season. If they win this game, they pretty much lock up the East. They'll have a 2 game lead in the standings, a 3 game lead when you factor the tiebreaker. The Cowboys, meanwhile, with a win, can move back even in the East. Being the winner of a division makes a huge difference over being a wild card. If you're a wild card, you know you're on the road the entire playoffs. Dallas would love to get a home game. Philadelphia, they've been strong record-wise, but we haven't always seen the most consistent performances. I think this is a huge game. Back-to-back losses here would deal the Eagles quite a blow as we're coming down the stretch of the season. Monday night, there's actually two games. The Tennessee Titans play the Miami Dolphins as well, but the game I'm going to highlight is the 4-8 New York Giants hosting the 6-6 Green Bay Packers. This one is the one that they decided to put on ABC. Obviously, the game they're leaning toward being better. The Packers have worked themselves all the way back into the playoff discussion. The Giants have been a little more frisky of late, so this could be an interesting one, but a couple of Monday night football games to end week 14 here. So that'll do it for games of the week. Now let's move into some lineup suggestions. Well, lineup suggestions. Last week I did okay, not spectacular. There were some tough looks. I was only 1-3 in my start suggestions. No offense in that Chargers game hurt Justin Herbert. Zach Moss didn't get enough work to crack the top 24. And Pat Freiermuth and the Steelers were a mess. I did hit on Devonta Smith. I was 3-1 on sits. The only one I missed was Sam Howell. He was not good as a passer, only 127 yards and an interception with no touchdowns as a passer. He got two QB sneak touchdowns, which was enough to vault him up into the top 12. So this week, we will hope to do a little bit better. Let's kick it off by taking a look at quarterbacks. My start this week is Dak Prescott. He's been on fire of late. The Cowboys are 9-3, as I mentioned. They have a lot to play for this week as they play the Eagles. Dak's been especially good at home, which helps. He's QB3 on the season. He's had 24 or more points in six of his last seven starts. That includes a 28-point game against the Eagles in Philadelphia in week 9. I'm firing him up. My sit at quarterback is Desmond Ridder. He's got the starting job back. They said supposedly for the rest of the season, not going to make any changes. The Falcons are also now 6-6. They're in first place in the NFC South. Those are all good things. He also has a great set of weapons that includes Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. It's very interesting. Unfortunately, none of that has translated into consistent fantasy success. He only has 3 games this season with 15 or more points. He has 6 games with less than 10 points. This is an all-important fantasy week. He is not a good bet. I'm not even that bullish on him in super flex leagues. Let's move on to running backs. My start this week is Josh Jacobs. The Raiders have a home game against the Vikings, kind of an important game. Jacobs has been getting plenty of volume, especially of late. He's RB9 on the season. Since week 8, he only has 1 game with less than 10 points. He's been very productive. They're coming off a bye week. I expect them to fight hard against the Vikings. My sit, and this one hurts me personally, is Javonte Williams of the Denver Broncos. I'm a big Broncos fan. I'm also a big Javonte Williams fan. The talent's there. The opportunity just isn't there right now. The Broncos have been using 3 running backs, including Williams, Samaje Perine, and Julian McLaughlin. He's only RB31 on the season. He gets a bulk of the carries, but he hasn't gotten any rushing touchdowns this season. He has a couple receiving touchdowns, but he's not getting enough consistent receiving work for me to feel great about that. So he is my sit. Moving on to wide receivers, my start is Mike Evans, the other half of that Tampa Bay versus Atlanta game. Evans is having a monster season. He's been the favorite target for Baker Mayfield. He already has another 1,000-yard season. He's wide receiver 8, and he's been on a tear of late with 3 games at 25 or more points in the last 4 weeks. They have that huge game against the Falcons, and I think he's going to be a huge part of the attack. I am firing him up. Meanwhile, I am sitting Amari Cooper of the Cleveland Browns. He's a great talent. He's clearly the Browns' best receiver. The offense, however, is a bit of a mess. It looks like it's going to be Joe Flacco, although Dorian Thompson-Robinson is supposedly available. I don't expect a high-flying attack. Amari Cooper is only wide receiver 31 on the season, and he has single-digit outputs in his past 3 weeks. They have a tough matchup against the Jaguars, and he is beat up. I'm just not feeling like I'm trusting him. Going to tight ends, my start this week is Taysom Hill. I'm a little nervous about it because he's officially questionable. We'll find out if he ends up missing. This will be a bad one for me. He qualifies as a tight end, which is great news for Saints and fantasy players. He gets a lot of touches. He runs. They have him throw passes. He also catches the ball. He's a decent threat in the red zone, which is a big fantasy boost. He's tight end 10 on the season. I want him in my lineup if he's playing, but could be a little bit of a a problem if he doesn't play. And I did these, I always do my sit start column on Thursdays. If you guys are looking to check it out on the Campus to Canton site, my sit this week was Dalton Schultz. That ended up being a good call as he has now officially been ruled out for today. But even if he hadn't been, you know, he is just too up and down for me. So I wasn't feeling like he was a player I was going to trust. So that is a look at my sit starts for the week. Now let's move on to Pigskin Pick'em, where I have my picks against the spread. Last week was a dreadful week. I went 5-9. That had me sitting at 95-98 going into the week. I nailed Thursday night football. I took the Patriots plus 5.5. I thought the Steelers would win, but it would be close. Turns out the Patriots won and it was close. So sometimes better to have that luck with you. Let's take a look at the rest of the games. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons. I'm taking the Buccaneers straight up, so I took them plus 2.5. Detroit Lions at the Chicago Bears. I think the Lions can get the victory. I took them minus 3.5. Interesting matchup. The 7-5 Colts at the 6-6 Bengals. Both teams kind of fighting for playoff position. I like what I saw from Jake Browning last week. I'm taking the Bengals at home, so I took them plus 0.5 points. Jaguars with a beat-up Trevor Lawrence, true game-time decision. I think it'd probably be better long-term for the Jaguars if he didn't play, but I know he wants to play. Going up against the Browns, the Browns are desperate for a win after losing a couple straight. I took the Browns straight-up victors. I also took them minus 2.5. Carolina Panthers at the New Orleans Saints. Looks like Derek Carr is going to play. I took the Saints minus 5.5. We have the Houston Texans at the New York Jets. Zach Wilson is back at quarterback for the Jets. Not sure that matters that much. Tank Dell is out, but I still like the Texans. They're a very plucky team. I took the Texans minus 6.5. It was a pretty big spread for my liking, but I just like this Texans team. I like what they've been doing. Mentioned this as my early game of the week, the Rams at the Baltimore Ravens. It's Ravens minus 7.5. I think the Ravens will probably get the victory, but that spread was too big for me, so I took the Rams plus 7.5 against the spread. Minnesota at the Las Vegas Raiders. Justin Jefferson's coming back. It's an important game for Minnesota, but there's something about this Raiders team with Antonio Pierce that I kind of like their moxie. I took the Raiders plus 2.5. I think they can get the straight-up victory. Seattle Seahawks at the San Francisco 49ers. Geno Smith, another true game-time decision. Drew Lock is prepared to start. That is not words Seahawks fans probably wanted to hear. I took the 49ers minus 10.5. If the Eagles lose tonight, the 49ers could vault all the way into first place in the NFC again. Big game in Kansas City, the Buffalo Bills at the Chiefs. I took the Bills as straight-up winners, so I took them plus 2.5. Points. A big one for me, the Denver Broncos at the Los Angeles Chargers. This will have a big impact on the Broncos' ability to stay in the playoff race. I took the Broncos as straight-up winners, so I took them plus 2.5 points. Big game today in Dallas, the Eagles at the Cowboys. Cowboys are favored. I think this is a field goal or less. I think Dallas gets a straight-up win, but I took Philadelphia plus 3.5. The spread was just a little bigger than I wanted. Doubleheader on Monday night. Dolphins are minus 13.5 over the Titans. You know what? I took Dolphins on the points. They have been beating up opponents in this way. The Green Bay Packers at the New York Giants. Packers suddenly have a lot to play for. That offense has looked pretty good of late. 6.5 points is a big spread, but I took it. I took the Packers minus 6.5, and that will do it for my week 14 picks against the spread. Before I get out of here, I'm going to end with Movie Corner. It's been a big week for films, a couple of new films in theaters. The crime drama Eileen, I saw that one. If you saw, I reviewed it on Music City Drive-In on Friday, gave it 3 out of 5 stars. It was okay. Streaming films, Merry Little Batman, a Batman Christmas-themed animated film, voice of Luke Wilson and James Cromwell, among others. I thought it was okay, giving it 2.5 stars, so you can check that out on Prime Video. If you're a fan of the TV series Monk, we have Mr. Monk's Last Case, a new streaming film that kind of reunites the cast of that story. Tony Shalhoub is just so good in that role. There was a lot more emotional depth than I was expecting. You can check that one out on Peacock. A couple other films that opened. Hayao Miyazaki's The Boy and the Heron also appeared in theaters, his first animated film in a few years. And Sam Esmail wrote and directed a new film for Netflix called Leave the World Behind. Tonight, Eric and I will be looking at both of those on This Week at the Movies. That comes at 7 Eastern, so you can check that out to hear more of our detailed thoughts on that. But a lot of movies getting toward the end of the year. A lot of big things are getting released, so it's been a fun time. Well, I hope you guys enjoy week 14, and best of luck if you are fighting for a fantasy playoff spot.